There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad I do it times. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to From the Helicarrier, the number one, the new source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. This is where I am Groot. Because I've got my Vin Diesel cold voice going on today.
Oh, no.
But I am Epic Boss McFall, the concerned angelic voice from heaven that you just heard. That is the Golden Age Emmett.
Yes, hi.
and singing in the background, as always, is Soapbox Klotz.
Yeah.
That was an awesome opening, guys. Thank you.
So. Oh, yes. That was clearly
the, we are bringing the energy.
You know what? I dare say that's the best of the year.
Well, can only go up from there, right?
Well, technically, this is the first episode of the year, isn't it? Because today exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the joke. That's the thanks for...
Okay, look, I told you I'm under the weather today. Let's just explain. Yes. All right. All right. So, you know what? You guys, you get into headlines. Lock us in.
All right. Let's bring on the headlines. Big news from thehelicarrier.com. Sorry, just plain thehelicarrier.com has a new look. If you haven't checked it out yet, make sure you go take a look and let us know what you think. It's in its evolutionary stage, but that was kind of the first major big hurdle. So look for more updates as time goes by. And we're hearing your comments and feedback already and making changes. So you will you'll see further additions and changes as we go. Also in the news,
isn't
hybrid.
Even our final form.
What's that?
This isn't even our final form.
No, it totally isn't. It's not even. We've got a lot of little red and white balls to pop out of as evolve into different Pokemon.
What you're saying is, it would help if we had another training room for our website.
Oh God, yes. Hybrid also in the news now that people have been able to open all their locked boxes and have had a few more days to collect locked boxes since the grand opening, quote unquote opening. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're all doing with that, and why don't we jump right into discussing? Because I don't see hybrid later on in the discussion, so I want to talk really quickly about hybrid and what everybody's doing.
Go ahead, Klotz.
Well, you know, the big thing is that there was a post from a usually reliable source that said that the XML code showed that we would continue to get lockboxes. That is not the case. You know, we loaded up today, and they've repeated yesterday's daily, where it is Dark Elves and EISO, but no lockboxes anymore, it appears.
Gotcha.
And so that's the end of that, I guess. You know, if you didn't have them yet, you're going to have to buy the lockboxes.
I'm going to spend some gold, got nothing in my pocket.
And yeah. I had to pop some tags too. I had to spend. I ran out of earned lockboxes yesterday, actually day before yesterday, because I assumed that the fourth was going to be the end. So, basically I could have spent 5 gold less potentially. I was still in my 8th cover, with two of the little bars filled up. So basically I had to buy 6. I had to fill the bar completely up to get that last cover. So I think I spent 50 gold to fill that last bar up and get the get the last comic cover I needed.
That's worse, definitely worse than me. I fell behind with hybrid. I just did everything you guys did. I opened up, I did all the daily missions. I got all the lockboxes I could. And I had 5, you know, somehow it came to an uneven number. I had 5 left at the end of yesterday, after yesterday's daily. Mm-hmm. And this morning when I found out there were no more lockboxes, I said, okay, now it's time. Now, here's what we talked about. We talked about me hoarding gold, and this was why. And I even got 10 gold in the daily spend today, which is very awesome. And so I spent 5 gold, opened up that 10, and I just barely gotten the 7 covers. I had to fill up the entire bar for 7 mm-hmm. to get that cover. And sure enough, I got a duplicate. I filled it up. So, all right, 10 gold at a time. Let's see, because I don't have enough gold to guarantee a cover here. And I think I ended up doing a total of 35 gold. And I'd been hoarding it from the dailies, four-starring the daily missions, and I had just a little bit left over from the last gold sale. But I think I ended up doing either 25 or 35 gold, because I lost count on, with that 5 in there, I lost count. I think I spent 3 times, which would have been 25 gold, because I got 5 and then 2. But then I did get hybrid today for about 25. What about you, Klotz? Or you already talked about that, sorry.
No, I didn't talk about mine yet. Actually, you know, I'm starting to feel a little bit bad, because so I've missed a few days for the daily. I was just telling McFall before the show that we had some out of town guests here at Rancho de Klotzo. And it made it kind of tough to get, you know, games in and stuff like that. So there were a couple days where I barely logged in to collect dailies and stuff like that. So I missed a few lockboxes, and I was one cover short, and I was about 3 dupes in to the last cover. And then today, you know, no more lockboxes. I had 5 because I picked up yesterday's in the middle of the night last night with literally less than an hour left. I got the 5 from yesterday. And so I bought 5 more. I'm like, all right, well, I have 6 gold right now. We'll just play this slow. You know what I mean? Like, my plan was I would just keep, like you were saying, I would keep doing dailies. I'd get my gold every day and pick away at it as I could. Once I got to 10, I'd buy more. Well, I got lucky. I got my 8th cover off the first 5 that I bought combined with the 5 I had left over. And, you know, open 10, got the last cover. So it didn't cost me like 50 gold like it did you guys. And now I feel bad. But I'm very happy.
But unfortunately, you had to buy the gold as you went, right? Or you ended up not having to actually buy any gold, just had to spend the gold you had on.
You know, actually, interestingly enough, when we get to this, I can just transition to the sale here anyways. I ended up buying gold for the current sale, particularly Psylocke, who's available. That's really the only thing we have to talk about in the current sales, because everything else has gone off sale.
But you did not actually even have Psylocke before, right?
No, I didn't. I had to buy.
So this is a great deal for you.
It was a pretty good deal, yeah. Getting her bundled with one of the costumes was awesome. So I ended up getting her with her tactician costume. It was a good price. I don't remember exactly what the gold price is. And unfortunately, I can't look at that stuff in my account because I own it now. So, sorry, guys. But, if you don't have Psylocke, both cool. X-Force costumes are available right now. I think the sale ends very soon, within the next couple days. And obviously, Psylocke X-Force costume is one of the key pieces in the Quick Lock combo. A combo that I hope to put together sometime this week. I have to level Psylocke and, you know, get some gemming going on and whatnot. But that's the last of the holiday sales, it would seem. Some other notables that came up is the Raff Shank that ended up going on sale. The Cosmic went on sale.
I think they boosted Raff Shank just slightly to justify the 128 gold price. Or not gold, CP,
It was 84 gold,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 84 gold. 128 CP. Initially, they discounted it, whatever. Yeah. But because I went up against, I've seen them pop up more and more now, and I went up against it not that long ago. I think earlier today, even. And it's just like every move, shishank, shishank, shishank. And like, Scrapper, you better get out there and whoop his ass. What are you doing sitting there letting him shank everybody? You know, somehow the Raff Shank turned my suit off. I don't know what happens. But yeah, it was interesting. A lot of people did buy that, and good for you. I'm glad you have something.
Yeah, it's a good weapon to have for sure. I wanted to touch base really quickly on one thing we talked a little bit about last week. Back on the hybrid thing, I didn't want to break Klotz's flow on going into the sales. You know, as I was going through the math of it last week, something I that kind of came to mind over the past week is that it doesn't really work that way, because you can't just do it as taking the median of the minimum number of boxes to open versus the maximum number of boxes to open, like we were talking about. Here's the problem, and here's why it always seems like those last two comic covers seem to require filling the whole bar. When you look at the first comic cover, obviously you get it automatically because you've got a 100% chance that you're going to get a brand new comic cover. When you get down to that second bar, you've got a 50% chance on getting a brand new cover. So chances are you probably, I mean, well, not chances are, I mean, you basically have a 50-50 chance to not have to fill up that bar before you get a cover. As you get down to the next one, you start getting a 33% chance to get a new cover. So by the time you get down to the seventh and eighth bar, they don't carry the same weight as those first two bars, because even though the thought is, well, I'm opening 10 at a time, I'm opening 10 at a time, your chances of getting a non-duplicate cover drop significantly the further down that those comic covers you get. So when you get down to the 7th and 8th, you're looking at like 18%, 14% to get something unique. And that's why you find that while you don't often have to fill up the bars in the 2, 3, and 4, chances are you're going to have to fill up the bar when you get down to 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So it's like, instead of it being a straight diagonal line, it's a big, sweeping, expensive curve.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much does it. It doesn't feel that way, though, sometimes, because how many times have we actually been able to get the covers early and still have lot boxes left over? Was it because maybe we got less lot boxes this time?
No, you just got lucky.
You got lucky. No, I don't know.
I mean, what did we end up getting, like 185 lot boxes over the course of this?
I do suspect that there are different proc rates, if you will. Like, I do think that the I don't know how to put it. I've noticed differences between different types of lockboxes. For example, PvP ones, I always find that I have to grind those ones out. Like, I always get pretty close to maxing out, especially the last couple covers. Whereas Spec Ops ones or limited release ones like this one is a little less like that. I don't know if it's like there's a little bit of an algorithm built into that, the way it rolls or not. But because that's the other thing. Ultimately, we can only theorize so much. We don't know what the
real math is that they're using.
Right, exactly. Because I've suspected for a long time that maybe some covers might be more common than others. So it might be like basically like a roulette spin. You know, there might be the 8 possible covers, and you know, the first 3 or 4 might be like the 60% chance to get one of those, and then you get like 10% slices or whatever for the last couple. We don't really know, you know, because I've suspected that, but then of course I've looked at some other people's results before, and some people, like the cover that took me forever to get, they'll have gotten like 6 or 7 of, you know, like it's just the one they see all the time. So we don't know exactly how it works, but it might just be strictly RNG. It's probably the easiest way to code it, I would imagine, is to just have it be RNG.
Exactly, yeah.
But now, a little bit more about Hybrid. Have you guys gotten to play with them yet? Or, you know, have you interacted with them? Have you fought against them in PvP? Any of that kind of stuff?
Both. I've gotten them up to, I want to say, level 3 or 4. He's been put on hold just because of PvP, but he's come up a couple times in PvP matches, but mostly my interaction with him has just been playing him, and I haven't picked up any of his alts yet, and I don't think I got I didn't get any of the EISOs from any of the lockbox groups. That did seem to come up for quite a few people, which is really good.
I'm not sure where I got his ESO. I just looked in today and went, hey, that says Hybrid on it. What does it do?
Well, it would have, if you didn't buy it, it would have had to come out of the lockboxes.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy, you know, because I don't think I got one either. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, man. I've heard some people getting like 3 or 4. You know, maybe it's a luck thing. I don't know. But, Yeah, I don't think I have to double check, but I don't believe I got any in these last couple. So gonna have to work hard for those, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
But I've heard people messing around with Hybrid a little bit. Some people are saying he's, you know, an absolute house, like everything that they hoped he would be. I've seen a little bit of grumbling from some other people. I don't know. It's like anything, you know, there's a little bit of belly aching. There's a little bit of over-exuberance. We're really trying to – the reason I ask is I really want to zero in on, you know, what's the real quality here. I know Kingfisher's been working on stuff. Maybe that's what – this week's segment's about. I don't know. We never really know. So we kind of walk right into that blind. But it'll be interesting to hear Kingfisher's feedback once he's gotten to play with Hybrid a bit more. I'm kind of waiting for that personally. I'm like, you know, I'm going to let the pioneers do the pioneering. And then when I know that something's going to be good, I'm going to go after it and I'm going to, you know, set that up. But I'm excited. I just love to gush a little bit for a minute. I love the way they handled this guy. Like, I love the fact that, you know, he's got all these alts. Even though it costs money, you know, to get these alts, it seems like a great idea. Like, here's the toolbox character. Customize them to your heart's extent.
Exactly. Yeah, and that makes it a lot of fun because people may not want to buy the Infiltrator. They may not want to buy the Bruiser. Right. Maybe they want to focus on a Tactician version of Hybrid or the Blaster, you know, default version. So, I really like that fact, and I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, this would have been a really cool way to handle, like, Punisher, for example, or some of these other different styled characters that had multiple potential classes as opposed to kind of built-in one, like Mockingbird being able to change her class. That makes sense for the character. Punisher, you'd think, would be able to equip himself depending on what kind of villain he's going to be going out after.
Right. Well, also, you would think that the Mockingbird EISO that you can win, that she changes before she gets hit. Uh-huh. You could throw that, do the same thing for Punisher. He sees it coming, so he'll automatically adjust to that class before he gets hit.
Right.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I could see that. That's another, that would be another way to handle it. But, well, you know, for some of these characters that it makes sense to say, they pick which class they want to be before they go out on a mission. Like Punisher would. This would be a Punisher thing.
Right.
I'm going after Spider-Man. I'm going to do a blah, 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 whatever. That's my Frank Castle right there, everybody. that was the Hasselhoff version of Frank Castle. You know, for other characters that change it more as they go, like the Warriors 3, for example, it makes sense to have them be within their mission, within their battle, to be able to change. Vision, another good one. But it would have been fun for some of these other generalist characters to have the ability to change prior to the mission.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure how you'd handle that, but
kind of the same way you handle all the other costumes, but you've got more of a limited supply. Being able to flip Iron Fist back and forth between Scrapper and Bruiser, for example.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I was going to agree with that completely. Like, when I think of the way, you know, Mockingbird, she responds to the situation in the moment, and then obviously Punisher is going to – he's going to plan. That's his whole thing. He plans ahead of time.
Yeah.
But he does bring contingencies for just about everything. But seeing that reflected in the design of the characters is great. And I definitely think Punisher is one of those guys that could use a retooling because – you know, he's very complicated, but, like, not necessarily good. You know, like, I know there's a lot of fans of the character. He's not one of my favorite characters, but I'd like to see, you know, any of the lackluster characters get a little bit more love. And, again, I think he's just complicated, but I don't think he's necessarily good. It'd be great to see them retool him a little bit and maybe, you know, use these ideas. I really like the idea of being able to take, you know, alternate costumes that completely change the functionality of a character. I think that's been done a little bit to a certain degree so far, but and a lot more lately. That's a cool idea, but also taking the EISOs and the AISOs to kind of customize characters, you know, most of the time it just kind of improves an ability you're going to use already. But what if it just started to completely shape the way that character is played in a different, you know, in a completely different way? I don't really think they've explored that design space too much yet. And I'd really love to see more of that. So, I don't know. I think this is a sign of potential things to come. It might not have bear fruit right away. You know what I mean? Like, it might be something that they see how it goes and they take that feedback and trickle it down going forward. So, mm-hmm.
Well, they're always watching, you know, when,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, they're always watching the data on their end. They're listening to the show and watching the
presumably.
Game,
kind of yeah. Thing. Right.
Before we move on to some other stuff here, I got a new Spartan shout out, Agent Niebler. Got it. I believe that's Stacey Niebler. No? Anybody?
Okay. All right. No.
Agent Niebler.
Niebler kind of thing. Yeah, right.
So, Spec Ops, you say you're still working on that clot?
Yeah, I haven't touched it at all in over a week. So, I'm on, let me look. Let's see here. I'm on 18 of 25. So, I'm just going to.
Oh, you got it. You're good.
Yeah, I'm just going to blaze through the rest of it and get it done. I'm not going to farm any of the weapons. I just don't have time for it. And it's, I mean, if I get something, I get something, you know what I mean? I'm not going to
sure.
go out of my way. I might try to 5-star because, I hate to leave gold and CP on the table, but, yeah, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm sure most people are long done by now. I've seen a lot of reports of that people were, you know, they've had her for a while. Speaking of which, Crystal, have you guys gotten a chance to play with Crystal now that you've potentially had her for a week or more now?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she's fun. She's a good complementary character if you're using either a weapon or another character that can put like the come on, quick call. Yeah,
that's not me.
not if it. You can put the burning or the chilled or the, you know, some of the other debuffs on there that really she can take advantage of. She's a lot of fun. I'm personally, for Spec Ops, I'm still actually, well, once PvP is done, I'm going back to it, but farming for the last weapon, basically farming enough Mad Tech to get the 24 Mad Tech weapon.
Which one was that one?
That's right here, the Echo Tech Blaster.
Oh, yeah, that's
that's the one you've got to 4-star all the missions to get. And, yeah, I haven't kept track yet of how much Mad Tech I need. It's probably up in the, you know, 16.
Mad Tech keeps disappearing on me. I don't know. I'm like, hey, I should have 10.
Like you've got
it,
you lose it?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't. What happened? I don't understand.
Maybe it's mad at you.
Maybe. No, I think
that's what makes it mad.
So I thought the 4-star, because I got 3-stars and everything, the Echo Tech Blaster is here on my list. I think the little quick action switch is the 4-star, because I was kind of looking at getting that, but I've heard that is not worth it at all to have it. Let me go to my research. I can tell you exactly which. Actually, it's not going to show up in my research because I haven't hit the 4-stars yet.
Right. Yeah. Once you hit 4-stars, you should see it as a task on your left side, though.
I don't have it. I'm on 3-stars. I'm almost not to the 4-star yet. But
gotcha.
I can look
okay.
in my weapon set here and do that. But yeah, I finished it. Crystal, I find to be more fun than I thought she would be. You know, I'll admit that she definitely is what Storm should have been when Storm was first launched, I think. The way she reacts, puts up protection. Not so much elemental stuff, but definitely the protection part of it seems to work really well. Team her up with another Inhuman, and she's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. The weapon I'm thinking of is not – it looks like the Zero Day, but it's not the Zero Day. Where are you? Because we get a version of it in the Spec Ops. Unrefined version. Oh, there it is. I just passed it. It is the Manic Deamplifier. It's the set 1 of 4 of the Maddening Method set. Now, here's the... It didn't even say unrefined, so I guess I have everything refined. Because I won the other 3 weapons. I won them, luckily, naturally, through the progression of the roulette and the,
like, you got the one from the roulette, right?
Uh-huh,
and have you built any? Let's see, one of them you build with 8, so it's 8, 16, and 24.
Well, I got I won the blade off the psychotic blade I got off of the roulette, so that was already refined, so I didn't have to build that one. And we made the Manic Deamplifier through the missions. And where's my Echo Tech Blaster? That's a skeptic. Where are you? I think I won the Echo. Maybe it's the Echo Tech I need to research.
Right, because what you the Maddening Method set is not the unrefined versions of them.
Right.
So it's Amplified Rifle, Psychotic Blade, Echo Tech Blaster, Manic Deamplifier. The ones you win in the missions are the unrefined Echo Tech Blaster, the unrefined Psychotic Blade, the Manic Deamplifier. So
yes, unrefined Echo Tech Blaster. So that's the one I need to research then, which is supposed to take off Touch of Madness.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Now I understand. I get it. So I was kind of waiting to read. I'm glad you said something because I'm like, I'm just waiting, but this other weapon's probably not worth it. And I'm like, don't even need to do that research. I need to do the blaster.
Yeah, no, this is the great one that basically does some of the null stuff. It does buff blocker, so it removes beneficial status effects from the target. And then it does collapsing infrastructure, which drops crap on you every round.
You're right. It is 4-star. It tells me I need to get more stars for my gun before I can research it.
And people are saying that it is a really good weapon to pick up. Agent Greg Dude is saying that the blaster is the 64 gold weapon. Is that right? I didn't think that was. It is.
I thought the Manic was the amplifier was 64 gold. Maybe it's the Is it not the cannon? It doesn't matter. I don't have to spend gold on it. I got everything I wanted out of the spec ops so far. So I don't know why I'm racking my brain on this.
The rifle was the 16, research, and that one's only available as research or winning it via the Thanos battle.
Yes, I won the one for Thanos the first time,
and that's the one, and that's cool because that's the one that that can put disoriented on an enemy, but sadly also puts it on yourself. Has a chance to put it on yourself
unless you have a second set equipped.
Right,
then you don't put it on yourself, and it preemptively does it. It's a pre-counter, so that's always fun too. Let's jump on some things here. So we've got the spec ops going. PvP, you know, that's coming up. Odd ending day. When I looked at the days Sunday, because I'm preparing for the end, you know, it's under 7 days, so let's look at the days and see what game day is. It's not a Monday. It's Thursday.
Yeah, Sunday. I'm kind of thankful for. I mean, usually it's a Monday. Mondays are pretty good for me. Thursdays are really good for me. I'm really glad it's not a Wednesday. Really glad it's not tomorrow.
Yeah, me too, because I'm actually working tomorrow during the time that it'd be ending, so I would not be able to keep up if I had to. What do you think, Paul? Why do you think they chose Thursday instead of their typical Monday?
I have no idea. I mean, that's the whole thing is, like, I just don't know. Clearly, it's always going to be a weekday because it's going to have to be a day that they're going to be in the office, you know, in case there's any issues, for example.
So they can – in case there are any issues.
Well, you know – okay. In the interest of fairness – you know, my first PvP tournament since I started playing again was PvP Gate. Like, that was – I pushed through that tournament. I was like, I'm going to get it. And then all the things that happened at the end, I was like, you know, like it was a pretty crappy experience overall. But that being said, since then, we – you know, there's been plenty of tournaments that were pretty good, like pretty stable as far as – connectivity and everything and staying up and being consistent. Obviously, you know, we've gone through many iterations of the way the tournaments work since then, and you know, we're in a new era, so you know, the new era of tournaments hasn't quite been so squeaky clean yet, but I think we'll get to that point. You know, I think obviously whatever happened last tournament, I'm sure they looked at it. I'm sure they analyzed, you know, their network load and everything, and they said, okay, this is what we got to do, or, you know, whatever. And maybe that's part of the change, you know, shifting to a different day. You know, ideally, if I were trying to end an event like this and I wanted to decrease server load as a developer, I would look to do it during the week, during the day, you know, like try to catch it at a time where it's few people as possible are going to be able to sit there and just jam my servers with their incessant attempts to get into adamantium.
But Agent Orono says, I can answer that, FDH. It's because they launched it immediately after the last one.
That's right. The last one ended on a Monday. They gave it a couple days and then launched this one. I mean, they have the ability to choose however many days they want it to be, though. They could have still launched on a Thursday and then made it three fewer days to launch to finish on a Monday.
And we've seen them adjust the clock. We've seen it one day you log in, there's 33 days. The next day you log in, there's 25 days.
Right.
I know a week hasn't gone by since I logged in yesterday. But, yeah, I think it's good. I'm with you, Ibbot. It's a nice place to put it without overloading the server. Hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that's not a massive game day, although I did really like those because I felt accomplished. I don't, now that I've had some easy game days, I'm like, I don't really want to work that hard. I'm out of now. Leave me alone. So, is everybody adamantium right now? Are you sitting happy?
Just on the edge of adamantium. So basically one battle away, one losing battle away from dropping back to vibranium. I've been riding the fence for a couple days now, well, about a day now, and just haven't had time to do that real big push to go forward. The team I've been using for defense, which was Red Hulk and Pestilence Beast.
Right. Also, that stopped working, didn't it?
It really did, yeah. I mean, I was winning maybe one or two out of every four battles, defensive battles, and then all of a sudden that number just dropped. So I've been using a team that's been beating me pretty handily lately, which is Pestilence Beast and Satana. Satana is a dot machine. She is a dot ATM. She throws so much crap at the other team, especially if you use her specific EISO. That when you couple her up with Pestilence Beast, it just puts too much stuff on your opponents to handle, especially if your opponents are kind of built to withstand the Red Hulk Pestilence Beast and Groot Gamora teams, which seem to be the most prominent ones, right? You kind of build your team to combat the most frequently used.
Right.
And boy, Satana... And Pestibeast cut through those teams like butter. So,
well, good.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
I had the same effect. I had Pestibeast and Rolk and had whatever weapons on my agent to support that. And then, one day it just stopped working 100%. And I let it go for a day and it stopped working 100% the next day. So I did change it up. I think I went with the Gamora Groot team. I'm definitely toying with the idea of Molly and maybe like Iron Patriot or Iron Fist teaming up. Let me go see if I did that yet or not. Because Molly really is brutal. And I've actually had fun. No, I went Gamora Groot with the emblem of the Guardian insignia on my agent. And that seems to have been doing okay. It's back to like a 40% win ish.
Is it 12% of a plan?
I don't know. I'm saying adamantium. That's all I care about. But yeah, I took Molly on defense. I took her on offense. And she's a lot of fun. I got her up to level 12, I believe it is. Yeah, she's level 12 right now. And I focused on her stamina and defense, a little bit of attack, a little bit of health, but mostly stamina and defense on her. And if you pay attention, learning how to play her right in PvP is key, because if you pay attention, I get to the second round and I'll hit the temper tantrum and then I'll just destroy their team.
Yeah.
But if you don't pay attention, you hit it and you set yourself back because they had the Light Fantastic on them. So first you heal them.
You just keep healing the crap out of them.
Actually, I tested it out. Here was what's interesting. I'm not sure how they define turns, because if you hit somebody and then you do a follow-up attack, it double heals them. And if somebody joins your attack, it heals them again. I've done that.
Right.
Iron Patriot. If I do the 21-gun salute, it'll heal every time he hits them.
Right.
But with Molly, it treats it
as a separate turn.
Yeah, it healed and then it didn't. So it just set me behind as opposed to straight pummeling. Or if you have massive bleeding and you don't notice that as well, then you tend to not do well with Molly. I'm running in some teams, though, mostly with Red Hulk, some with Red Hulk Pestilence, that all of a sudden they decimate me. And I don't go and look at the bonuses. I'm sure that's probably what it is. But I went, wow, why am I dead all of a sudden? That didn't make sense. But, I take the loss and I move on.
Yep, exactly. I'll go back and look. Like, if it's the first time I get beaten by that kind of team, then I'll probably just let it go and see if it happens again. The second time I get beaten by that power, that lineup, like a Groot Molly team.
Oh yeah.
For example, those have been pretty brutal too.
Especially if Groot's Bruiser.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Then I'll go through and I'll look at their army, and then I'll go to their heroes page, their heroes tab, and hover over those two characters, those two heroes. And I'm glad that it seems to have been fixed. Playdom seems to have fixed it, where if you hover over it, you actually see what kind of bonuses they're getting from their ISOs. You don't see which ISOs they've got slotted, but you can kind of figure it out based on, all right, this one's a plus 362, and you can divide that by 8 and maybe figure out, you know, from that. But it's, you know, if you've got somebody misdirecting from Ollie so that she can't be taken out quickly, then it's, she makes a formidable teammate for group.
And the AI definitely goes right after her.
Yes. Boy. Yeah.
That's the thing. But yeah, that's been my interesting experience. Is I'll get in and I'll fight, and I'll either have with a new team, I expect some struggle because I'm so used to just Iron Fist and Iron Patriot just blast, right? So I'm like, okay, how do I play this team? How do I do it? So I expected to lose, and my first battle I won, the second one I lost. And I realized it was my fault, so I'm learning to tweak and manage and added a crystal here, changed it there. But yeah, there's one time it's just all of a sudden she's dead. And I'm like, what? What? But that has not happened very often. And it seems like, I don't know if it's level 300. I don't know if it's just a new age of PvP we're in. But it seems like they totally did a Mad TV spoof on Lord of Rings. One does not simply walk into, oh, hey, here you go. But yet, one does not simply walk into 8. No, you can come in too. Come on. You know, it's like you do your 5 for the most part, and you'll at least be on the brink. As long as you have your good team, you got your bonuses in place, as long as you've prepared ahead of time, right? I mean, Klotz on a 200 level, what are you finding?
I actually see my matchmaking has been so weird. I haven't been able to PvP in a couple days, so I missed a few days here. But I was, you know, we were talking about it at the beginning of the tournament, and I was hitting that wall of like really crazy hard people for no reason right after I bought my armory items. That has been gone largely in my experience. I'm now getting paired against like really easy opponents. So I haven't had a good battle in a while where I could be like, is my team effective? Because I'm just like, oh, I just murdered everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, that gives me no feedback. You know what I mean? Like just plowing through somebody doesn't tell me if I'm on the right path or not. So, yeah, I mean, I experience a lot of the same things that everybody else does. Surprising amount of null on defense still that I go against.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, at level 200, I don't expect null. You know, like ideally, in the real world of what level 200 should look like, they shouldn't have the 4,000 CP worth of characters to have null, but they do, you know, so that's kind of crazy. It's a little bit, it's tough to, you know, to deal with him. But yeah, I mean, that's, my experience is all over the place. Like, I'll get like one good fight per 5 lately for the last week or so. And then like all the others will just be like real easy mode, just people who haven't updated their armories, people who don't have a lot of heroes. And I just, if I don't plow through them in one round, it takes 2 maybe, you know?
Yep. Now, before we hit the king, I want to ask you guys, because did you finish and get null Klotz?
No, not yet.
Okay, but Ibbet, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. I can't get past the stupid Magia part to get null. It's like, let me tell you exactly what the mission is. It's the squirrely guys. Defeat 6 Magia assassins. And I've played that stupid Wonder Bread level 10,000 times, and not one little bastard has popped up.
There was some information on a different mission to do where you would see them after the first battle, and you would know if you were going to get them. And if you didn't, then you would just abort that mission, retry it, do the first battle, and then you'd see if you've got them. Because I think they do still all have to be done in that chapter, but there's another mission where you can go after them.
I'll hit to our good buddy Kaiser Allen, who runs the Marvel Avengers League and a few other leagues, and see what he has to say.
Legion, yes.
I looked it up on the wiki, the wiki.avengersalliance.com. Or it's AvengersAlliance.wiki.com. Just Adventures Alliance Wiki. Google that. I looked it up there, and there was some information, but maybe I didn't understand it. Maybe I didn't read it fully.
Jazzaflets says that they only appear on easy. I mean, I know that's not the case because I did it on challenge mode. But if you try it on, you know, try it off challenge mode and do it on easy mode and see if they come up.
See, Aranus is saying the same thing as do it on or different thing rather, do it on challenge. I'll do it on easy. I haven't tried it on easy yet because typically once I beat it on easy, I just stick with the doing it on challenge mode for better stuff. So I will see what I can do. And now let's hail the king. It would be helpful if I hit the button. There we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. For today's segment, we're going to talk about Hybrid, who I was finally lucky enough to get. So far, he is amazing, and I will have him at level 9 today. And although I could take him into PvP right now, I am pretty high rated at 2,217. So I was just waiting for him to get to level 9 before I started trying him out. Really, you want to have your heroes at level 9 anyways in PvP. Dr. Doom was sort of an exception, in part because using his level 9 was sort of like seeing a unicorn. It most likely wasn't going to happen. Hybrid's level 9, on the other hand, is going to happen. Even though afterwards you're going to have a 3-round cooldown, you'll still want that AoE attack that applies opportunist debuffs and should be amazing for any exploit opportunity team up. Obviously, we can use Hybrid with Anti-Venom, She-Hulk, Spider-Man, Wasp, our old buddy Hank Pym, the Ex-Oblivion, and the No Mercy. I mean, that list goes on and on. Of course, we are going to use him with Anti-Venom, and I don't think that comes as any surprise to anyone. But the first E-ISO I bought was the Genetic Memory Empowered ISO 8, which works for Hybrid, Agent Venom, Anti-Venom, and I'm even told Black Costume Spider-Man, even though he can't equip it. So that's great to know, and it makes perfect sense. Although he should be able to equip it, but I guess it was just too hard to limit his other costumes from using it as well. But even though those more obvious team-ups are going to be great, I may be just as interested in exploring every single possible combination. I mean, there's just so many different things that I want to test out, not just the opportunist or even the bleed teams, as great as they may be. One thing that I thought about that I do want to explore is possibly using his infiltrator costume. First of all, attacks against him cannot be stealthy, and you could possibly buy his Red Knight Empowered ISO 8. That way he'll protect allies from single target and area attacks. Then since there's so many tacticians, he's most likely going to counter. So who knows, maybe his counterattacks could be a very serious way to damage the opponents, and you could make him quite a tank. Plus, on top of that, maybe you could bring in someone like Rocket Raccoon, but that may be getting a little bit out there. Unfortunately, since you would be using an alternate costume, you can only equip one E-ISO. Otherwise, I'd love to use a Sentient Empowered ISO 8, which gives Hybrid a chance to perform a preemptive attack when attacked. Mm. But maybe you could use this, and then someone like Phoenix, to place Mind Link on Hybrid and make him protect. I don't know, it could end up being quite a stretch, but I still want to try out every single possibility. By the way, I realize that off-balance would be an issue. I just know that this character is going to provide so many interesting opportunities, and I don't think you're going to get bored with him very easily. So that's going to be great for video purposes. And then as far as his level of customization, well, it's just absolutely incredible. I mean, just looking at the fact that you can even give his phage to power, although it is going to cost 15 gold, and that's for the debilitating augmented ISO 8. Then another thing that I was looking at is giving him the shifting A-ISO, which does cost 10 gold, but it's going to apply flank to the entire enemy team. That's because it goes on his level 9 AoE attack. But just how great is that going to be? Hey, we can go back to Rocket Raccoon. It would be funny if that team up worked. And I should have him at level 9 today, so I can't wait to start trying him out. For the All Hail the King video, I do plan on mixing it up, but outside of that, I am going to have a full symbiote video, and then maybe some of my crazy combinations, such as Rocket Raccoon. All I know is I need a lot more gold. Currently, I only have the Genetic Memory Empowered ISO 8, and then I have the Quilled A-ISO, which grants Agony or Lasher Serrated, so gains hemorrhage causing all applications of bleeding to trigger. Then I did make sure to get the shifting A-ISO, which does cause Lasher to apply flanked. And finally, I won the lashing A-ISO, which is unfortunately also for Lasher, and it causes that level 9 to remove all beneficial status effects. I'll most likely be using the shifting, but if you don't have a way to remove buffs, that's a pretty great alternative. Alright, so as far as the video, I will use Anti-Venom, so that's part of the Symbiote team-ups. Then I will include a bleed team of some sort, and then some out there combination. So I'll have one of each and make sure to mix it up. To find out exactly what I use, and to see how well they perform, you'll just have to make sure to tune in and watch the video. That's going to be it as far as today's segment, but I would like to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the hosts.
You know, I was hoping a little bit for a recommendation on which alt would be perfect, or I guess the best, but I guess that just comes down to your personal
play style. Yeah. He certainly is giving a good defense for picking up the Infiltrator hybrid, right? I think he'll be picking up all five of them, honestly.
Well, of course you will. You got to catch them all. I probably will eventually.
Yeah.
Just to have the option, because you never know. You know, you get down the road and poor man's PvP or whatever, something comes out and King is like, hey, use the Infiltrator costume. I'm like, damn you, King, I don't have that one. So I always, if you can get it, I try to get it. I forgot to check my AISOs because my hybrid's not even level 2 yet. I just got him. I threw him on the flight deck and haven't even played with him really. But I went and checked. I've got two. I've got the Lashing Augmented, which does the lashing out. Lasher removes all beneficial status effects, which is really good. Then I've got the Thrashing Augmented, which is also for Lasher, which is his level 9 attack.
Oh, interesting.
Which is inevitable. Gains catastrophic, guaranteed to hit, ignoring advanced avoidance effects, and cannot be protected against. So that sounds very interesting. So I'd have that.
So there you go. You must have gotten those from the lockboxes as well.
I'm assuming. You know, I never pay attention to what other junk's in the lockbox.
I usually don't either. Well, I usually don't hover over the crystal or the refined ISOs or the, you know, obviously none of the supply kind of stuff. But usually if I see an AISO in there, which is really rare, I'll hover over it and see what it is. But I don't remember even looking when I went through.
Yeah, I didn't
either. I was so fixated on getting a hybrid that I didn't even look at that.
Right? I was so fixated on watching that stupid bar move, and it didn't. It's like, oh. You know, I also got the numb and, powered ISO 8, which is feel no pain, takes reduced damage from all attacks. And there's no restriction to which suit he can wear that with. So I can put the numb to pain on any of the alts that I get for him.
Yeah, I'm looking at all of these, and I didn't get a single one. That will probably help dictate, right? Though, which alt you get, right?
I'm trying to look right now. I don't think I got any. Yeah, I didn't get anything. So.
And we're getting lots of instant feedback on where to find these stupid Maggie assassins. So thank you, everybody, for putting in the information on how to find it. And Mark Barrett sent us a picture. That's a Pokemon ball with the Marvel Avengers Alliance logo on it. That's awesome.
It's about right.
That is about right. So we have some expanded universe news that I had not heard. I think you had just heard it today, Ibbett. So
I just heard it, yeah.
Klotz dropped the bomb.
Well, we have we got official word today about the Gambit movie coming out of Fox, which will actually go live, you know, come out in theaters next year. It's going to have Channing Tatum as Gambit. There's been a lot of rumors for a while floating around that he was going to get that role. He had expressed a lot of interest in it. He's basically been quoted as saying it was a dream role for him. The rumor was flying around and everything. I imagine that they probably did this on the back of the fact that his last couple years, the films he's been in have been doing quite well. And, you know, obviously he's kind of been around for the last 10 years or so, but, you know, really picking up steam. If we can take a second to talk about the fact that they're planning to release it in 2016, that seems like a really quick production schedule for me. Especially for like a Marvel film, for a superhero film.
Yeah. Sure.
So it really makes me wonder like how they're going about it. I really just hope they're not just phoning in some
some, you know, steaming pile of Dookie.
It's certainly possible, because this is the studio that brought us X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
Well, I
so
mean,
it could be a rush job. Who knows? There may have been a script already done.
Yeah.
And
we don't know that they haven't done a bunch of pre-production on this way ahead of time and everything. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and even if it's, you know, they're saying releasing in 2016, if it's December 2016, that's still 24 months away. You know, we're just at the beginning of this year. So saying something's coming out next year puts it at least 12 months out and potentially more. It's not like a few days ago when we were thinking, all right, next year is a couple days away. Star Wars year, Avengers 2 year.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got date nights planned for most of the year.
I mean, but that's really the thing is, like, you just kind of, you mentioned, like, Avengers 2. How long has that been in production? You know what I mean? Like, all the planning and everything, pre-production that went into it, and then the actual filming, and obviously post. All the other Marvel movies have had a, you know, cycle that's a bit longer than that. So it really makes me wonder if maybe this Gambit film is going to be a little bit, you know, more lo-fi, I guess, is the way to go about it. Like, it's not going to be a big spectacle, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That would kind of suit the character to a point,
right? Well, yes and no. I mean, he's kind of like a
well-to-do street rat.
When you look at his New Orleans origins,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Here's my thing, though.
That's the other thing is I'm not sure that they're doing the New Orleans thing.
Yeah, who knows what they're going to do?
That'd be interesting. Oh God, if they try and change that, the origins of the character, so that he's not Cajun.
You mean like they did with Deadpool, where they sewed his mouth shut and cut his head off? Yeah. They would never do that.
No. Fox, no. They love the being true to the fans.
You know, that loops around to what I was just saying. The whole thing is, you know, Fox is kind of all but declared war on Marvel at this point, I guess. Like, they're kind of like, it's kind of like the kid on the playground who took some of your toys and claimed them as his own. And even though everybody knows that they're your toys, he's like playing with them in the mud and stuff. And he's not even having fun. He's just staring at you while he's doing it. You
know? Right. You're stuck in the classroom looking at him out the window and he's like banging your toys against the tetherball pole. And
yeah, he's just like, he's not even enjoying it. He's just, at this point, he's just doing it to get at you. I almost wonder if that's what's going on, because, I mean, we'll see how this Fantastic Four movie pans out, but, like, it really just seems like they're trying to capitalize on the buzz, and that they're like, you know what? Don't give a crap. Like, don't give a crap what you guys think. We're just going to, you know, we're going to run this stuff through the mud, and you're going to show up and pay to see it because that's what you do. You're super fans, and we're going to make a little bit of money off of this, and we're going to keep our rights, and we're just going to keep rolling forward. I don't know. They have an opportunity here. If like you said, if they change the Cajun aspect of the character, that's a lot of, I mean, I'm sorry. That's a huge part of who Gambit is. Right. I mean, you know, you might as well just start a new IP if you're just going to talk about a character that can kinetically charge things and throw them at people. Sure. You know, like, I mean, so we'll see how it all works out.
And there's no real drawback to continuing on from the Taylor Kitsch version from X-Men Origins, right? I mean, you know, though he was so barely in that movie, that they really could just kind of keep in the continuity of that at least. But
he didn't have a Cajun accent, did he?
I don't remember.
I thought he did. Yeah, I thought Taylor Kitsch did a little bit of.
Then again, he only had like two lines. So
exactly
right.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically meet, play cards, go out to the alley, fight Sabretooth, and I think send him on his way to go see the Blob or something. Right?
Yeah.
I think I've erased a lot of that movie from my memory.
Now, my only concern is that it's Channing Tatum. I like him okay. I'm hoping he's going to be Heath Ledger. You know, Heath Ledger came from he looks good. All the young girls want to look at him, so they'll go watch him in these dance movies. Or for Heath Ledger, it was 10 Ways to Lose. I forget what it was. 10 Things I Hate About You, maybe. Teeny Bopper girl movies, right? And Heath Ledger was kind of making his way up, but he still did the – he went from teeny boppers to the older ladies when he did, I think, Four Feathers, you know, the period pieces. But then he came out and did Batman, and he just blew it away. And that's where I'm going to stop the comparison, because obviously it was a tragedy what happened. I don't want that to happen to Channing. But I'm hoping that Channing will come out and just blow the character away. Just go, wow, we didn't know you had that in you, because he's kind of fun. But, yeah, 22 Jump Street, come on. Yeah, I'm sorry. It just – yeah, it's I really hope you bring some panache to the role. That's all I'm saying.
Like, Agent Uranos is saying, no, he did not have a Cajun accent. It was more Western, and then Buck is saying, I think Gibbet just likes to say Taylor Kitsch, dude. If you have not watched Friday Night Lights, his character is one of the best things about that show. Him and Coach Taylor, man, that was. That was brilliant acting on both parts, and we should be seeing more of him.
Oh, there you go. All right, it is now time.
A lot to say about that.
It is now time for the section that we never can get through, and it is from the field. And also, if we get back that, we'll have to figure something out. But we're shoveling the water as fast as it's breaking through the levee. I'm just saying.
That's right.
So, Ibbitt, you are up first.
I'll start this one. Morning, carrier crew. Agent Frunk reporting in, though given the time difference here in Australia, it might be in the middle of the night over there, so technically this email is coming to you from the future. Artie, we've got to get you back to 1985.
Nice.
But Doc, you put a time machine in the DeLorean? All right, anyway. He said put insert your choice of Back to the Future quotes here, so that's my choice.
Oh, very, very well done, sir. Kudos.
So in a past life, my mates and I made rap battles for a laugh, but since we're white, we never got famous. We're also lazy, but meh. So taking this concept and using a not-so-aggressive approach, I'm being nice, here's a little ditty I wrote about our favorite game. Hope you enjoy. Now, lately with emails, because we've gotten so many of them, we've had to paraphrase them down so that we have time to fit them all into to the show.
Plus the fact this that Klotz one... and I don't like performing on command like this.
Well, I am not a monkey. I do not dance.
very, very good point. So this one I decided to leave in its entirety, and we're going to get through this thing as quickly as possible. But it's funny. It's worth enjoying. And I'm going to do this in my best rap voice, so forgive me. All right, it's called For the True Believers. 2 years ago, there was a new Facebook game. From that point forward, life was never the same. Meant as a cash grab, but the fans kept playing. Producer Woods had a dream. The scope was a-changing. So many heroes like shopping at the mall. Curse my OCD. I gotta catch them all. Learn the Marvel history. We'll soon have more. Screw the legal red tape. We want no more.
Yeah.
Those roulette spins, they hold such hope. The weapon, command points, UISO, nope. Grenades, crystal, health packs, and so many more. Let's go make some money back at the store. How we love and loathe that PvP, though sometimes cursed by CVE. Game day is here, it's pandemonium. Study the numbers, aim for adamantium. I got a cat here who's joining in the fun here. New stuff inbound. The Spec Ops is here. Collect all that UI so your allies are near. New villains appear. Watch out for those dots. Recruit all the heroes for the epic boss. Community builders, the helicarrier team. Add in the king who reigns supreme. Soapbox Klotz and epic McFall, though Golden Age Ibbit is wisest of all. Yeah, boy. So thank you, Plato, for this awesome gift. And though some fans can be little shits, your hard work is loved. Do content and features, because this is the game for all true believers. Oh, I guess one more. Our digital addiction from the great Marvel license. Now I'm off to play more Avengers Alliance.
Yeah!
I muted my mic so I wouldn't throw you off. I'm just laughing the whole time. You did a great job. You did a great job, because I would have not done as well as you did, I don't think.
It's a voice that I don't often get to bring out, so there you go.
That was fun.
And I will never bring it out again.
Thank you, Agent Frank. Now, for the record, anybody else sends these things in, they're going into the trash can, just so you know. Yeah. All right.
That was the last epic rap battle of the helicarrier.
The microphone has been dropped and it will not be picked back up.
So... Agent Kalani writes in, hey there, I really love the Helicarrier website. Well, you should check out the new version of it, because it's even better. Mm-hmm. You give us a lot of information about the game, so if you guys are going to do another podcast, can you answer the question, please? or return to my email. Or maybe he's doing another show. It's a little lost in translation here.
Right.
But I think he's asking a question, wants to know if we can answer this.
Either reply via email or reply on the show.
Here we go. Here's your reply on the show. And we lost content. No. Will Squirrel Girl will Squirrel Girl be available on sale again? And when, please? I'm dying to get her. Agent Kalani. So we should have done the whole Johnny Carson. And the answer is yes, she will obviously, not obviously, but she, from past patterns, she will be on sale. Mm-hmm. When, I don't know, we've yet to cultivate that relationship with Playdom to where they tell us things. So we're still working on that. We don't get heads up. Which would be cool, Playdom, if you did. We'd hold it. We'd be professional. We'd say, hey, we won't announce it till the Tuesday before it releases. That way you can get people excited about it. We'll hold it to ourselves. Just saying. We can be quiet. We'll sign non-disclosure agreements.
Sure. We don't know. Sure. Yeah, we don't know. We do not have that data, but chances are you'll probably hear about it getting culled, getting extracted through XML before it happens, so you might get a little bit of a warning. But, you know, probably a good idea to make sure that you're stocked on CPs so that you can pick a wrapper or gold, depending on how they release it.
Can I give the magic 8-ball answer?
Of course.
Sure.
Signs all signs point to yes. I'm sure we will see her again at some point. It's just a matter of how and when. So, yeah, you know, sit on a little stockpile. It should be no problem. Agent Arc Demon Nikolai writes in with a novel-length email that I will now read for you. So during the course of the week, Playdom decided to release a new companion for the Cube and Elemental characters. Keep in mind, we're still reading emails from as far back as almost 2 weeks ago. So this is dated information. Yeah. The weather control device, a.k.a. Crystal in a Box. And with the release of that item, a lot of people saw its potential and went ahead to buying it and placing it on defense. Since I've come across a few myself and saw how the AI was using it, I thought I'd let you all know a few things about how the AI in this game is programmed to handle the situations of whatever characters it's controlling. The opponents I faced that had the WCD equipped, but also parts of the demon set, which puts debuffs on them. As we're all familiar with the demon set's ways of working, having set array of debuffs on myself and WCD, the AI decided to use as a first move, I'll let you guess, Warm Zephyr is its first action, without the agent or team taking any damage beforehand. This happened on numerous occasions, 8 to 10 times, which gave me the epiphany that the AI is not built to handle items that cause harm to the agent in order to gain certain benefits, unless it has no other choice but to use said items. What this shows is that the characters that thrive off debuffs, whether by self-flagellation or other methods of attainment, will not be effective on defense if paired with items that heal or remove harmful effects. And this is also the main reason why you will never see Nico on defense using her L9 due to the fact that it gives her 3 stacks of bleeds and the AI won't allow it. So even if you devise the most effective of dot teams and exploiters to accompany the effect, but also have just one healing and or buff removal action, the AI will 9 out of 10 times go for the heal instead of the potentially damaging blow, saying screw you to your tactics and potentially costing you a win. Also, speaking of win/loss, the new PvP armor items have caused a lot of controversy between players who have either gotten them without having the hero bonuses to back up the sudden change in difficulty, or do not have the possibility of getting them or facing opponents with said items and getting pounded in the process. Results may vary according to the types of teams people are using, but overall what these items have done is split the PvP scene into tiers. For those who do not know what a tier is, it's a grouping system they use in various MMOs and other games, offering a various array of items according to level and other rating systems such as PvP or event rankings. Personally, I've acquired the items that have noticed a speed up in the time it took to defeat an opponent and a significant damage increase, which leads me to the conclusion that if you hate the items, then you just don't have them. They have literally doubled the bonuses that I had with the previous items and also changed up my matchmaking to fit my power output, which I don't necessarily mind since the occasional weakling that gets obliterated by a hotshot is a priceless image for me. That being said, I hope you all had wonderful holidays/time off and were surrounded by the people that are the utmost importance to you and your well-being. I wish you all a fruitful new year and more prosperous than the last one. What's the matter with me? Keep the carrier flying. Arch softy, I mean demon, has pounced. Fled. Damn it. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's absolutely right about the way AI works. It does interpret most debuffs as being strictly negative. It doesn't really calculate for the fact that that enables some strategies. Or Nico's a great example. I mean, that level 9 is super important to Nico. It gives her a huge defensive bonus. And the bleed is really not a big deal because she heals back every turn. So, like, it just... It's one of those things where the game thinks it's a bad thing, but we know that it's a good thing, and the game, so the game doesn't act appropriately. But that, you know, and some interesting strategy there. What do you guys think?
I think we need to get back to publishing articles, because that was a good article.
This would, yeah, this would be a good one to actually put up on the site. But
yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's dead on. It's a good tactic. It'll help you with Rolk versus Rolk and Pesty Beast.
Pestilence. Feed that well, beat, it's yeah. I mean, this article just speaks to Pestilence because of it's all about the dots, no treble.
there you go. I think I threw off the rotation here, but you can go ahead and take this next one.
Okay, greeting agents, Ibbot, Klotz, and McFall. This is Agent Ramey again, reporting for duty. First, I have some announcements to say. I had a great Christmas, both in real life and MAA. I think he wrote MMA, but I don't think he's a mixed martial artist. Reached level 300, became a Spartan.
Woo!
Had my hybrid on Christmas Day, plus
two
AI SOs, the consuming one for L2 and the buff removal for L9, though I really wanted the flanked one. And he opened
a... Oh, I'm sorry. Santa Claus didn't bring you enough on Christmas Day? I'm sorry.
Darn, I didn't get the I got the character I wanted, but not all the ISOs I wanted. He opened 120 lockboxes, so he got lucky in the daily roulette and PVPs. Nice. I don't know what that means, because you could only get lockboxes with the daily missions and not none from the daily roulette and PVP.
Well, and so the goal, you can get the goal, the side missions maybe is what he's thinking of. If you got collected so many milk and cookies, it'd give you an extra 10 or something. Right.
Well, yeah, but that's not gonna happen with
I
the daily.
I think he got lucky in the opening, because he got the max amount you could get, I think,
I guess
by
so.
Christmas.
Okay. And I got to say, though, he isn't OP, but he's really fun to play with, especially his original since Justified stacks to 10, which is really helpful in PvE. Also, I bought his Riot alt, as suggested by the King, in his first daily missions and hybrids review video, and he's pretty conquering in PvP, especially when equipped with buff removal on level 9 because of the loads of skeptics around. And I have three questions. I'm thinking about buying the other alts. Which ones do you think are useful and why? I think King already kind of spoke to all that. So yeah. I would actually default to him because I haven't done any research on his other alts. Two, what's your hybrid progress, if not already mentioned by now? We've already mentioned it by now. And is it okay for me to add the FTH thing next to my agent's name in PvP? That would be a great honor. Are you kidding? Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Please do that. If you know, I'm in PvP as Agent Artifact FTH. And I know Uncle George is Agent Uncle George FTH, and you guys have FTHs in yours, your names as well, right?
Yes.
Mine is now Soapbox FTH. I changed it.
Nice.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. Let's see. Okay, and that's it. Thank you for reading this. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Well, same to you, Agent Ramey, and congratulations on your amazing luck with getting hybrid that quickly. Hopefully with all of the other lockboxes you accumulated since Christmas, you maybe got the AISOs you wanted.
Yes.
Who knows?
I'm looking for something I'm supposed to play here in a minute, and I'm not seeing it.
Oh.
Agent Woods wrote in, and not that Woods.
Sure.
Sure. Greetings, fellow agents. I just bought the Photon app for my iPad so I could access Flash content and play MAA on there. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it has worked so far and allows me to check in on my flight deck and a lot more during what would otherwise be dead times. Have you guys bought this and other apps to get around the iOS Flash issues? I'll stop there. Yes, I bought that early on when we started doing this show. And $6 or $7 one-time fee has really, really worked out. Like you said, it lets you check on the flight deck, if nothing else. But I got to tell you, there's been many times I've been able to do game day because I had it in hand. It did quit working there for a few weeks. They did some update that only MAA stopped working. Everything else still would work, but now it's everything's back in kosher. All right.
Yeah.
I think there's the one that sounds like a penguin. What's that one?
Puffin.
Puffin.
Puffin there browser does Puffin that as browser. Well. I tried Puffin, I tried Photon, and I tried OnLive Desktop, which actually has a monthly cost. Because of the other advantages to OnLive Desktop, I think that one's working better for me, and it's super quick and easy, but I use it for other things as well, for Windows, when I'm traveling, if I need access to a Windows machine.
Good. So there you go. There's some suggestions.
Couple ideas, yep.
Ever bought anything to help your MAA experience that wasn't in the game itself? For a while, I was buying food, shoes, and even taking surveys to try and earn gold from the game sponsors. It took me a second to figure out, what are you talking right. about?
Like buying shawarma yeah. and eating while you play.
But he actually, there is a way to earn gold, and that's to click on their advertisements, buy through them, and once they confirm that you've indeed done the requirements, you get gold deposited into your thing. We talked about this early on, Ibit, you and I think before class even came on, was yeah. here's an easy way to earn gold. If you're going to buy flowers for your wife or your mother for Mother's Day or whatever reason, you can go through MAA, buy it through them, pay the same exact price, and you'll get gold deposited into your account because of it.
Right. So, yeah, I did that with Sherry's Berries. I picked up an order of Sherry's Berries for Valentine's Day last year. I made a donation to the ASPCA, got some gold that way, and I signed up for a Chase card, which I kept for a year and then got rid of, which gave me like crazy amount, like 100 gold or something. And I don't think that one's still in there. But yeah, really, you know, easy way to do it if you're going to be buying those things anyway. If you're weighing the two things and it's not something that you would buy, then obviously it's going to be cheaper for you to just buy gold if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Excuse me. Happy New Year. P.S. Glad you liked the Roadhouse themed Christmas card I made for you guys. Just a small token of appreciation for the infotainment you guys provide. We definitely do appreciate that. I did find the voicemail. So here is a voicemail from a week or so ago.
Oh, cool.
Except it says now error playing file. Really? Okay, that I put it in one place. I swear to God, I didn't move it. All right, so we're not going to play the voicemail right now. Go ahead with the next one, Colossal.
Oh, wait, here's the voicemail right here.
Hello. Hello from the helicarrier. How are you guys doing?
Sometimes that is
no. What kind of narcotics have you stumbled on today?
We're having a good voice day.
Yeah, we are like
I just happen to have a bullhorn here, and so it makes for great voicemails.
I use this on TMS.
You should have used that for your rap there.
Right.
So Agent Cage writes in, "Hey guys, what's going on down in Helicarrier Town? I hope I can get a Spartan shout out this week. I am now Spartan plus one, which has got to be worth something, right?"
No,
Agent really. Cage here, probably several pounds heavier from all the lovely Christmas food I've been stuffing myself with. If they ever made a Man versus Food 2, I think I would have what it takes to fit it all in. I felt there was a somewhat lackluster appreciation of the awesome new power of the weather machine last week and wanted to put things right by saying why it is better than the cube and has taken a new permanent slot in my PvP arsenal. I don't know if I can finish a letter that just like...
This is an intervention.
Yeah, Cage. Cage, come on. No. Here we go. Number one, all actions are quick, unlike the cube, which requires a tactician suit and the quick empowered EISO to be really good. I disagree, but my agent has been wearing that stinky uniform almost the whole of 2014. It was about time he got a chance to change clothes. Number two, all actions are immediately available, so whichever action is most beneficial to the situation you're in can be taken. Round one exhaust is generally the best opener, but sometimes the healing might be necessary. Its healing power can remove nanoplague and buff blocker, both of which the cube's light is not quite so fantastic at getting rid of. Number four, it looks quite cool. Okay, yeah. I'm clutching at straws now, but hopefully I've sold it to any listeners who were on the fence. It really is just as good as the cube.
No, you don't get the dodge, which drives Paul, crazy, but it's 20%. You can't be as good as that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't – it's good. I mean, that's all – it's good. Like,
it is good if you don't have the cube. Or actually, somebody used it in conjunction with the cube against me on defense, and that actually worked really well.
Yeah, well, I mean, see, that's the thing. So, like, if you replace one of the other weapons that you might bring with the cube and bring both – You know, it's obviously good, but, like, I don't think it replaces the cube. That's, like, it still doesn't do what the cube does. The passive on the cube is huge. It's such a big part of PvP. I don't know. I don't know that I can agree with Agent Cage here. I'm finishing his letter here. So on a PvP, and like I said earlier, I had a little break from the game over Christmas, but did decide to use some of my gold hoard to enlarge my armory bonus during my absence, and was quite pleased to come back a couple weeks later and find, excuse me, that I am still in Vibranium League thanks to Gamora and Pestibeast with the weather device featuring as well. I got to thinking of one of my schemes. If the three of you, four if you want to include King to rule the house, were to fight each other's PvP offense teams, how do you think you would do? Anyway, I will leave you all with a little wisdom. If you're going for Adamantium this time, make your big push on Wednesday or Thursday evening to try and avoid the traffic on the final day server crash. Peace out, Heroic Age Cage.
Nice. Yeah, I think in answer to his last question, I think if you brought Kingfisher into this discussion, he would trounce all of our PvP teams. The guy just knows. He knows how to do it.
He does. I don't know, though. I think it does come down to turn order sometimes. It comes down to, since we know how good he is, maybe preparing for what we think he'd bring. I think he would definitely be a strong contender, definitely a fan favorite going into the battle. But there might be some upsets. It's so hard to say because that's a live thing. It's mind to mind and strategy as you go along and adjusting on the fly, which is just something we can't even recreate right now. So it's a good question. I just don't like to admit I might lose. So I'm going to stick with, you know, I'm a contender. So I did find the voicemail, so I'll play this.
Oh,
and then
cool.
We'll go to the next one.
Okay. Hey, from the Helicarrier, it's Agent Ocinico. Happy New Year. I just recruited Crystal the other day. Currently in training for level 8, and now I'm kind of looking to recruit a couple of the other Inhumans. Been playing with them in the team up for the Spec Ops, and hey, they're actually pretty fun. I was wondering if anybody knows if there's a list being published anywhere, like in the code or whatever, for the empowered ISO 8s that are going to be on sale, because like Nightcrawlers is on sale right now, so is Wolverine, so is Hank Pym. I'm going to hold out and see if they put the ISOs on sale for Dr. Doom or Spyro or Bishop or Mr. Fantastic, because those would come in real handy, and I was never able to score them from the roulette. Thanks for all the entertainment. Bye.
So, of course, we don't know how they put stuff out, but Ibbot, you had advice, I think, at one point about if you want one specific thing just to kind of hold out and see if it comes up.
You mean the with regards to like the
ISO sales? Like, well, no, the ISO sale. Like at the time he called in, obviously Pims was on, Wolverine was on, Crawlers was on sale.
Right.
But those are cool. But if you're really waiting for one, do you think we should just hold on and just see if it comes up?
You can. I mean, there's really no. There's no gold loss if you try to farm these, because a lot of these ones that they're selling are ones that you get from the heroic missions and in the newer chapters. And there's no way. There was no way to buy the Hank Pym one. There was no way to buy the Psylocke one or the Nightcrawler one that they were selling recently. So you would have to – the only way to get them was to go through the heroic battles and do it. So I guess I'm not sure why – you know, why you wouldn't just do that. If you've finished all the other chapters and there's a specific EISO that you want, I would honestly, personally, I would just, while you're waiting to see if they put it on sale, I would just go through and do that heroic battle over and over again until you got it. And, you know, it's probably like a 2 or 3% chance, but it's going to come up at some point for sure.
I love the heroic battles. Very rarely do they get so frustrating I never want to do them again. There definitely are a handful of those. But for the most part, I enjoy going back through the Ares versus War Machine, one of my favorite battles of all time. And I just played it till I got them both. And then every once in a while, I'll still go and play it just to see what kind of fun I'm missing.
Yeah, I got so sick of trying to farm those Deadpool ones, and Agent Uranos is saying the same thing. I just went through and bought them. Like, basically, when they were doing those on sale, I bought all the ones I didn't already have. You'll see my gold is now depleted down to, like, 58. So I was taking advantage of those EISO sales and basically buying all the ones that they put up on sale that I didn't already have, just so that, you know, there was some missions now I don't have to farm to try and get the EISOs. And there are characters that I want to use them on. Hank Pym is a great example. Deadpool, another great example. Yeah. So, So, you know, I'd say it comes down to a pretty easy decision. If they go on sale and you've got the gold, pick them up. Otherwise, if they're ones you can't already buy, which 90% of them are ones you can't just buy in the store, then go to the heroic battle that features them, do that over and over again, and you know, you're probably going to get some other good stuff while you're going through that mission over and over again, whether it's weapons or CP or whatever. So I'd say it's worth it.
And keep an eye out. The daily missions are still going. It's quite possible the EISO day will come up, and they put some good ones in there as well.
It's EISO day today.
Yeah, it is. One little thing to add to that, though, keep in mind that some EISOs are easier to farm than others. I believe he mentioned Doom and Mr. Fantastic's Reeds. Yeah. That is actually a really easy heroic battle to farm. So I highly recommend that you farm, though, especially since they didn't go on sale anyways. I would just – it took me – I used to have a track of how long it took me. I don't know. It maybe took me like 10, 15 runs to get both EISOs, and I got like an extra of, I think it was the Doom one. So like, it works out. I mean, it's not one of the harder ones, but there are some that are just so tedious. Like, a couple of those heroic battles are, they're either tedious or they're just like, it takes a lot to get to them. It's a huge expenditure of your resources. And in those cases, I do advocate picking it when you get the chance to just pick it up. But, you know, pick and choose, because like 30, especially when it's 30 gold, 30 gold is a lot of gold. Like that's almost a 90 CP character. You know, that's halfway to a, you know, a 64 gold weapon. Like, that's a big chunk of your gold. I still think, oh man, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I still think a lot of things are just skewed on pricing. Like, things are not, most things that are being sold, especially during the sale even, have not been sold for prices that are in line with their usefulness compared to other things, you know what I mean? But that's the discussion. I actually think I'm going to do an article about that once we've finished ironing out all the little difficulties on the site, and we're going to launch content probably next week is what I'm thinking. So
okay,
there, that might be coming down the pike before the end of the month. Just saying.
All right, Ibbot.
All right, here's a long one here from Agent Ninja. Greetings from the Helicarrier. Agent Ninja here, coming out of the digital shadows because some joker thought it'd be funny to crank up the difficulty level in the Holosim training room while Heroic Age Iron Fist, Heroic Age Havoc, and I were the only ones in the room. Usually we can handle about any challenge thrown at us, but something has changed recently. The strange thing is that even though I heard this trickster has been harassing my fellow agents during their training sessions, I only began to experience his torment around December 31st of last year. I know that some shady characters are supposedly on our side now, but if Loki thinks he can get away with tricking the Fixer into ruining S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Holosim training room just for a few laughs when agents and heroes come stumbling out, prides bruised as much as their bodies, those two have another thing coming. I'll find a way to get Thor and Iron Man on them if I have to. Even if it wasn't them, whoever did it needs a stern lecture. They left me with a broken heart. These are all in italics, by the way. Yeah. After I placed Adamantium in the rankings last time, which was my first time, by the way, I felt like I finally arrived. After all my past struggles to train and equip my team and acquire the most current items for my armory that I could find in the field without having to give up on some of my take-home for that extra edge. I know I'm not the only agent frustrated with this. Do you think I should go to Fury or Hill with this, or our IT personnel? Let our IT personnel sort this out without involving them. There's also the matter of supply drops after our recent training missions were initiated. The docket leads me to believe that there's an equal chance at getting any one of 9 items. It must be some mistake in supply or transportation, because I feel like I've been lied to for a while now, and I'd really like it if my fellow agents and I could be given some veracity on our supply drop forms before we go through the trouble of opening the crate to find useless items we stopped using years ago. What do you think it would take for our supply to give us an honest representation about these item drop rates? I think that's all for now. I have to keep tabs on this Hydra agent. She's supposed to be meeting with one of their higher-ups today, and any intel we can get on them and their schemes is important. Wait, I think I just saw Baron Von...
You seem to enjoy that, Ibbot. That was good.
Yeah, no, like, I kind of like his emails. But it's funny to kind of take that, you know... take those horrible drop rates and simulator things into the real world, especially the supply drops. And we've all had complaints about the drop rates in the roulette and how it's not a 1 in 9 chance. Like I said, I'd love for them to just do it as a Wheel of Fortune and show you the accurate sizes of each of the pie wedges as it spins around. So it's like, and it's going like, you know, shawarma, ESO, shawarma, as it goes around. But anyway.
Yeah, as far as what it would take to get that, I don't know if they're ever going to do that, if they're going to show accurate.
No, but you know, it would be kind of fun to really see. You know, who cares about showing you the accurate amount of chance? At least you would look at it spinning and say, yeah, ooh, it might make it around to that EISO.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right. You're right. You know, one click off, you're like, oh, so angry.
Yeah.
But, And I don't know, the roulettes are all predetermined. So it's
they are, exactly.
It's, yeah. I don't know, it's difficult. I just got the refresh your browser thing. I can't imagine that anything's going to come of that.
New
but
stuff.
We'll see. Who knows?
It's chapter 8.
God, please no. You know, it wouldn't be bad. I still haven't finished chapter 7, but that's because I can't find those squirrely, the freakos,
squirrely dudes.
Assassins.
Yeah.
People were asking earlier what the gold package is. 24 gold will get you just Psylocke infiltrator uniform. So you got to imagine it's going to be around 60, 70 gold, 90 gold maybe for the character and the alt together.
Right.
So, Agent Daly writes, and this will be the last one today. Agent Daly says, just had to fork out 40 gold to see 3 more dupes. Oh, he put in hybrid with a
hybrid
frowny face.
Boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. He had to fork out 40 gold to see 3 more dupes. Yeah. I can't say I'm totally disappointed, though, because I've had my fair share of good luck with others. How'd you guys do? And we covered that earlier. The daily missions are now offering 1,000 experience, which I think is very cool. But I think they should use them kind of like the daily 5 rewards for PvP. Have them give out CP, experience, silver, gold, wishful thinking, I know. I think this would make the game even better with more of a reason to go on every day. I would take silver because no matter what happens, we still hit the silver drought. So silver instead of EXP. I know I can get a bar of gold every 16,000 EXP, but you're talking about 16 daily missions. That's actually not horrible once I said it out loud, right? It's 16,000 points, I think. Yeah, 16,000. So that's every 16 days I get a bar of gold. I'll take the XP, I guess.
Do you think he means in the roulette doing CP, silver, gold?
I took it to mean in the offering where just completing it once gets you this thing.
Oh, right, giving you the reward.
The day
okay.
prize, the daily prize.
Gotcha. So right now, as of this one, it's giving you 1,000 experience points. Okay.
Right. I can't complete today, so we're just going to bypass that. Somehow I got bugged out. I don't know
you
what.
Can't you abort it? And I guess you can't, can you?
No, I want to do that. There's no abort. There's just one bar. It says resume daily mission.
Yeah.
That's it. You can't do anything about it.
So. Sure, there's not like a little because sometimes you visit an ally, and the little green shield symbol that you're supposed to click on is mostly obscured by like the flight deck button or the
right
the edge of something else. You sure you don't have another one of those around there?
I don't see anything. I don't know. I'm trying to reload it now. Oh look, I just reloaded it, and they gave me my boss reward.
Ah, there you go. Congratulations.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Emmett, for your kind thoughts and offerings.
Hope you get in the ISO, and if you do, it's mine.
I did get in the ISO, and it's the Explosive Empowered Collateral Damage. Nice. One of my favorite blasters. Nice.
It's a good one.
All right, so we're going to scroll down here. Tips of the week. I just got really loud. I apologize. Tips of the week. I'm excited. I got ESO. Do we have any game playing tips this week?
Don't take up rap battles as a career. Oh, that was a tip for me, not a tip from me. Never mind.
I would definitely say check out thehelicarrier.com. We are expanding the content. Things are officially in the works for all kind of goodness coming. We're just going to leave it there. But I'm very happy with the direction we're going in. And, you know, Playdom keeps putting in things. So check in every day. Figure out what you want to play. Do you want to play the PvP today or the daily mission? And you can find a pretty good balance, I think, once you get past all the options. It's going to be hard put to say we're going to have a dry content spell in the future. It's not really a tip, but just kind of my take on what's going on in the future.
We'll see. I mean, there's, you know, as long as they keep giving us daily missions, I feel like we're always getting content, even though it's the same daily mission we had last week. And it's the same, got somebody a little pop-up window here with some CES news. I know you guys didn't hear that, but the streamers did.
Okay.
Even though it's the same battles and it's the same roulette, it still feels like new content because it's a chance to get something that you didn't have. So I kind of like it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, time to go home.
With that being said, you can find more of Agent Ibbitt over at coverville.com.
Yes, you can. Probably a Michael Stipe and REM cover story tomorrow because he's celebrating a big birthday this year. Also, you'll find me looking at web pages for CES apparently because those are popping up on my screen. I don't know what tab I had open in the background, but it's apparently giving me news about the new Walkman. Great. I was really excited about that. You can find more about Agent McFall by going to facebook.com/House of the Bear.
Where I've been teasing out the not one, but two new podcasts that I have in development.
Yes.
Because, you know, when I grew up, I want to be Ibbitt, so I have to at least get five podcasts at once. I don't know. I honestly don't know why I keep doing new podcasts, but it just, other than it feels right and it seems like the time is right, and the way I'm putting it together.
Like Lay's potato chips, you can't just have one.
You can't, but I have two good ones. But here's how I build a podcast: I have an idea, I pitch it to somebody. If they're like, "Wow, that's awesome," then I do it. And most of my ideas don't get that response, so it's not the right time. But both of these new ones, all around the people I've asked about it, were like, "Yeah, do that. That's awesome." So I've got two, and I tease out what's going on that page there, and you'll find out more there. And you'll find out more of Agent Klotz over at thehelicarrier.com, where he says he's going to be publishing some new articles this week, and we're going to get back on the publishing cycle and hopefully have new content coming out soon. So check us out there. Again, it's thehelicarrier.com for strategy, news articles, as well as the entire podcast archive. Music is provided by The Beginning at Last, which off the recording, I'm going to tell you guys some idea, but the listeners can hear it. It's fine. But the music is provided by The Beginning at Last. Check them out. They've got a new album coming out February 28th. And Little Birdie has told me we might get a preview of that before it actually launches. So that's going to be fun. Email us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. That is how you get into From the Field section. Rate us on iTunes. Go ahead and hit us up on Twitter at FTHelicarrier. And Patreon. You can go out, check out Patreon, and become a part of the Agents Only Lounge. That's patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier.
And with that, the boss has fled.